Welcome to Talk World Radio, a half-hour discussion of politics as if the people mattered. I'm David Swanson. This week on Talk World Radio, we are hearing and discussing poetry about Gaza. Our guest, Anita Barros, is a poet, a novelist, translator into English from French, German, and Italian. She has 18 published books and a 19th on its way. She and Joanna Macy have translated 4 volumes of the works of Rainer Maria Rilke, and many of their translated poems have been used in weddings and other ceremonies and set to music. Anita is a clinical psychologist. Anita Barros worked for 5 summers at the Palestinian Counseling Center in Ramallah in the occupied West Bank, and she has had a long-standing commitment to the liberation of Palestine. Anita Barros, welcome to Talk World Radio.
Thank you, David. I'm very happy to be here.
Well, thanks for coming on. Thanks for writing a poem every single day about Gaza, which I want to talk about, but first, I want to mention that when I asked you to come on this program, I didn't realize your daughter had already been on, Nora Barros Friedman, who works with Electronic Intifada, right?
That's right, exactly. In fact, when you wrote to me, I have to admit I did not know you. And so I looked up your website and I saw, oh, well, you know, he interviewed my kids. So
you'll do anything your daughter does. That's a little risky there.
Almost anything.
So who gets the activism from whom? Which way
Well, I think, you know, I've been an activist since I was in high school. I was in high school in the early 60s, and the Vietnam War was happening, and the civil rights movement was a very big commitment in my life. And through the civil rights movement, I really became an anti-Zionist you know, my Jewish childhood. I was raised to be a Zionist.
Most people from that generation, it didn't pass along to the next generation. Somehow in your family, it did.
It did, yeah. I'm lucky. my daughter Nora and her sister Viva, who is my younger daughter, came to demonstrations with me, you know, when they were very little. We had the Iraq War happening. I made sure they knew that to me the most important value was compassion for other living beings. And I feel like, you know, if there's anything I wanted to give my kids, it was a sense of justice and solidarity.
And did they get with you? You spent 5 summers in Ramallah. Did you bring the kids? And what did you do there?
Right. Well, I spent the summers in Ramallah after they had grown up. And Nora was actually already, by 2005, working for KPFA Radio. And I'm not certain about this. She may have already started at least doing some writing for the Electronic Intifada. So, you know, she was well on her way. But I worked there in my capacity as a psychologist. I work, as you mentioned, with trauma and neurodivergence. And what I was consulting with the Palestinian Counseling Center people about was the convergence, the intersection of chronic, ongoing, unabated trauma as they've experienced in Palestine, you know, since 48, with neurodevelopmental disabilities, because they see a lot of kids who, you know, were born to malnourished mothers or were born under very stressful circumstances and came into this world without everything they should have had. And so there are a lot of kids with neurodevelopmental disabilities there. And we work together looking at that convergence.
And you've been able to help some of them a bit, I guess.
I hope so.
I hope so too. It's great that you've tried. You also mentioned something you've been working on called We Are Not Numbers. Can you explain what that is?
Yes, it's a wonderful group. It was started by, among other people, Rifat Al-Arair, Dr. Rifat Al-Arair, who was a poet and a professor of English literature, who was assassinated by Israel on December 6, 2023. He was a great inspiration to me and to thousands of others around the world.
You
We
have
are
a
not.
book out, correct?
Yes,
Posthumous
just
book.
recently, exactly, which I think became a bestseller. It's quite something. If I should die, if I must die, you must live to
Tell the
tell
story,
the story, exactly, which I really do take as marching orders. So he, in his work as an English professor, trained many young students in Gaza, at the Islamic University in Gaza City, which now, of course, doesn't exist physically anymore, to write. And he felt that writing and telling the story were very important. And We Are Not Numbers, as he founded it with some others, pairs young people writing in Gaza in English with writers around the world who write in English so that we get to be their mentors. And it's a really extraordinary organization. I have kept up with two of the students whose writing I've mentored. We write to each other every day. I am concerned when I don't hear from them on a given day about what might have happened to them. And one of them actually comments on my daily poems because my poems go out, on a website. So she reads them and she writes me comments about them, which I just love.
Is there a way for English language writers who are listening right now to volunteer to be part of that?
Go to the We Are Not Numbers website, and there's a place on the website where you can request an interview and submit your resume and all that and ask to volunteer. It's a great organization.
It reminds me a little bit of the saying, "We are not bug splat." An artist in Pakistan put a giant picture of a child on the ground for the drone operators to see,
Yes.
who referred to their victims as bug splat. You'd
Yeah.
think this was not a message that was needed. We have to tell people that other people are not bugs or numbers, but apparently not.
Exactly. And you hear, on the news every day, 700 Palestinians were killed today in various incursions, and 943 were killed, and 127. We don't hear their names, and we don't hear their stories, and that's what We Are Not Numbers is dedicated to doing, and that's what I've been trying to do in the daily poems I've been writing.
Wonderful. Anita Barrows, let's talk about the daily poems, which people can find at poemsforgaza.com, correct?
Right.
What are you up to, and how did you get started on this?
Well, I've been a poet for most of my life. And when the genocide began, when it became clear after October 7th that Israel was intending to go into Gaza and raze it to the ground, I asked myself what I could do. And I have a big teaching load and a patient load, and I couldn't get up and go there, and nobody can go there anyway unless they're medical professionals now. But I thought, well, I've got this one skill that I can use. I can write poems. And so I started writing poems. I didn't know that I was going to make an absolutely daily commitment of it. But it soon became clear that that was what I was doing. I started out writing notes for poems every day. They weren't whole poems at first. And then after several days, I would put the notes together into a poem. Then at a certain point, a couple months later, they became entire poems. And now I've been writing a whole poem every day for, I don't know, 500 and some odd days.
It's a wonderful thing to do. I think everyone has a different way they can contribute, and darn well should. And you're a poet, you contribute poetry. I think it's perfect. So people can go to poemsforgaza.com and read them, but sometimes it's great to hear them read by the person who wrote them. So if you could choose a poem and read it for us, that would be wonderful.
I'd be so happy to do that. And I really see the poems as a kind of documentation. I've read them a number of times on KPFA Radio, Pacifica Radio. And one of the things that has felt very important to me has been to get the poems out in whatever way it's possible. So I'll start with one poem and I'll read more. So this poem, the poems are numbered. Today is day 614, and this morning at about 6 a.m. I wrote poem number 614. But I'm going to read day 529, and day 529 was in March, and it was the day after Israel broke the so-called ceasefire that had lasted since late January. And this poem was inspired by a photograph that I saw of a child. Day 529, the 8-year-old girl, Siwar, sits in a faded armchair that survived months of bombardment outside what must have been her home. Gaza City, ruins behind her. She wears a red and brown sweater, jeans, stained white running shoes with pink laces. Siwar has long fingers, graceful hands, a soft smile. Her brown hair is thin, likely from malnutrition after months of starvation. Maybe her family had taken refuge in the south, walked back to their home after the ceasefire. This night, in the middle of the night, the bombing resumed. The sky filled with planes, the night filled with chaos, noise. This morning, Siwar is dead, who yesterday played outside her house. Dead with 11 members of her family. Dead with her pink shoelaces, her red and brown sweater, her long fingers that might have played some instrument, that might have held a pen, a paintbrush, that might have grasped the limb of a tree she might have climbed to look out on the world, the city beyond her, the sea.
It's very powerful. I mean, I like to talk about how obvious it is that we are not numbers and how stupid it is to humanize humans. But it's very powerful when you put details to an individual and they're not a number. And the repetition of all the things she might have done, it's just far more tragic than a statistic, or a news report, you know?
Exactly. And if I have any intention in writing these poems, it's exactly that. It's to show whoever reads them, whoever hears them, These are people. These are human beings. These are not numbers. These are not bug splat. These are people with lives. These are kids like our kids. These are people who had things they could have contributed to our world, and we've lost them.
Are you finding stories in news media or in social media or from friends? How are you learning the material?
Yeah, all of the above. I take a lot of information from my daughter, Nora Barrows Friedman, and her work with the Electronic Intifada. They publish every day and they do a live stream every Thursday morning. That's a major source for me. This particular poem came from a photograph and a story by the journalist Rasha Abu Jalal, who is in Gaza. This was on DropSite. So I followed DropSite and Mondo Weiss and Palestine Chronicle. I don't pay much attention to the American mainstream news, I have to say. I do follow Al Jazeera in English. The American mainstream news is just basically giving us the party line, and we don't certainly hear the individual stories very much from them. I get information from my young friends, my mentees through We Are Not Numbers. They send me photographs and they tell me what's happening. And so yeah, those are my sources. I would say that about 90% of these poems come from real stories, are inspired by actual stories of individuals or families. The other 10% are composites that I have imagined from other things that I've read. I mean, they're all true.
Yes. Would you like to read another one of a different sort?
Sure. Yeah. This is one that came actually from a photograph a friend sent me. I wrote it last week. This photograph was in Al Jazeera. It was a photograph of a child. This is day 608. You could learn every bone in the upper body by studying this photograph of a 5-year-old boy. Naked from the waist up, his wrists like twigs, shoulders like rods, his stick-like arms hang down from. His face narrows from cheeks to chin, comes to a point like a dog's snipey muzzle. His eyes stare at something we cannot see in the photograph, angry, fixed. Is he able to move them? Can he see? Can he turn his head on that filament of a neck? Does he have the strength? The child is 5. He looks like 90, older. He looks as though his life had coursed through him, rumbled over him, wrested from his rigid hands, history, memory. Does his mouth still open? Can he tell us the name of the boy he was? The photograph, which I looked at about 11:30 one night, just as I was about to get ready for bed, totally wiped me out. I mean, I grew up in a Jewish family immediately post-Holocaust. I was born in 47, and my childhood was filled with photographs of people from the concentration camps. And this Palestinian Gazan child looked exactly like that.
Yeah, I don't want to see the photograph for the predictable reasons, but also because I think the poem is so powerful in describing it that I don't need to see the photograph. I my thought when you're reading these poems is These videos I see of my friends in Washington and Ottawa chasing after Congress members and members of parliament saying, when will be enough? How many children? Will you still support it if they've killed every last person? And I'm thinking, if I could just hold them still for 2 minutes and make them listen to this. But of course I can't.
Maybe we could find a way to do that. Blast it on loudspeakers.
Our friends who tried to sail a boat to Gaza and were snatched by the Israelis were forced to watch Israeli curated videos of October the 7th.
Yes. I've
you know,
heard
like
that.
Clockwork Orange, eyelids propped open, forced to watch the...
Exactly.
That's not what I want to do to anybody, but I would like the people who say, I support Israel, to say whether they support what you just read.
Yes, exactly. I know it's terrible. And I know that people who have worked in Gaza, one doctor, American, I think she's Palestinian American, whom my daughter Nora interviewed for the Electronic Intifada podcast, Dr. Mimi Sayed, actually did go to Congress with photographs of the children she had treated in Gaza and knocked on the doors of Congress people and attempted to show them these photographs. And if they looked at them, they clearly weren't moved enough to give up their AIPAC funding or whatever else they would have had to give up in order to turn a different way.
Well, some are turning in London, and maybe Washington someday. There's nothing we can do but keep trying, right?
Have to keep trying, exactly. And I believe we'll prevail, but how many more people have to perish before we do?
Have you had a lot of good response, Anita Barrows, to your poems from non-Congress members, but people?
I have, actually. My daughter put up the website, poemsforgaza.com, and she sends me the fan mail I get, which is...
That's great.
Fan email.
Is she weeding out the negative comments?
I haven't asked her. She probably is. I'm sure there are negative comments. I know, she and I spoke at an event the other evening along with a physician who had worked in Gaza. And 99% of the comments we got were absolutely positive. And we got, pretty vociferous 1% of very negative comments saying, all kinds of things that weren't informed and weren't true. But there it is.
If you weren't getting that, you'd be doing something wrong at this
right.
point in this place. Do we maybe have time for one more? If you're,
we'd love to. Yeah. I've got 614.
614 with no limit.
No limit. Unfortunately, you see, by the way, that many of these poems are about children, partly because children are the major victims in this genocide. Also because my life's work has been with children, and I have two grandchildren, and every time I look at them, I think, could be them under the bombs. So here's this one. This is day 559. A child in a wheelchair is rolling it with his arms, rolling it on the rocky, dusty ground, when suddenly fire falls from the sky, ignites the boy. The boy is burning alive in his wheelchair, and no one can stop it. No one can get near enough. A woman tries throwing a blanket to quell the flames, but it doesn't. The blanket falls to the ground in the wind from the fire. The boy is screaming, screaming the names of his mother, his father. At last, the flames, having nothing more to consume, abate. Those witnessing can approach, can see what happened. The child sits slumped in his wheelchair, his body charred, his face unrecognizable. A man touches the chair, metal arms still hot. Why is this chair intact and the boy dead? The man cries out to nothing, to everything. Wheelchair that had held this child since the amputations. Wheelchair that has become his grave.
I don't, I'm glad you're doing this, but I don't think I could read 614 of these. I think maybe three a day is my maximum. I mean, I want everybody to appreciate how well these poems are written and share them with friends and family who need to know, who somehow are living under a rock. But geez, they're hard to take, I think.
You know, I sit with each one and think, you know, what is it that I want people to know? And as I'm sitting with each one, and I, you know, write them at different times of the day because every day for me is filled with different things. But my day is now oriented around writing these poems. And I figure out when I wake up in the morning, when is the time I'm going to be able to spend. And I feel like it has become a kind of spiritual practice for me. I have to do it. Whatever else I don't do, I make sure I do that. And it is painful. I feel like it's a way for me to make sure I don't ignore the pain that's happening. And probably wouldn't advise anybody to read them all at once. 600 and however many there will be when this genocide ends, you know, as of today, 614. Who knows how many more? But if I have time to read one more, it's about exactly that.
I really wish we did. We don't have, we have about 1 minute left, I'm afraid. And I'd love it if you could remind people, Anita Barrows, how to find the poems and how to communicate with you and keep up with what you're doing.
Wonderful. Thank you. So the poems are all on a website. They're posted pretty much daily. I write them daily and Nora posts them whenever, you know, she can, usually within a day or two. Poemsforgaza.com. Poems for Gaza is all one word. There is a place on that website where people can write to me. And I recently had some friends put a booklet together of 21 of the poems, and the title of the booklet is really the message I have for the world: do not look away. And those are the words that begin day 599. So if anybody goes to the website, read poem day 599, and do okay. not look away. We must not look away from this.
Very, very true. We must not. Anita Barrows, the website is poemsforgaza.com. Thank you for doing this, and thank you for coming on Talk World Radio.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
This is Talk World Radio. I'm David Swanson. Take action at rootsaction.org. Help end war at worldbeyondwar.org. Read or listen to today's Peace Almanac entry at peacealmanac.org. All past shows can be heard at talkworldradio.org. Talk World Radio is produced in Charlottesville, Virginia, and syndicated by Pacifica Network. There is no way to peace. Peace is the way.